that perplexed me even as a young man. And I know they saw it. I know it was from God. But was it a shooting star? Was it a comet? Was it a meteor, meteoroid, meteorite, a shooting star? Or was it a comet? Or was it just a special star that God put up there in the heavens? And as I grew older, I really pondered the question, particularly after I got my degrees in science. In Matthew 2:1-2, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." I've built a pretty good case in the past, and we'll be mentioning it over this season and in the future, to prove that these wise men came from the area of Susa, which was the capital of Persia. And it was in this area that Daniel had taught these men when he was there. And I'll be establishing that later on, but that's not the purpose of what I want to do this morning. This says that they saw his star in the east. Actually, it was in the west that the star existed, but they were in the east, to the east of Jerusalem, a long, 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 long way off, all the way to the other side of the Tigris River. You had to go across the Jordan, across the very long stretch of arid region. You had to go across the Euphrates River. You had to go across the Tigris River. And then you came over to this area where the wise men came from. Okay, what bothered me after I became a scientist was this. They looked up in the heavens. And they saw a star. Was the star directly overhead when they first saw it? Or was it overhead and then did it move toward the east? Did it move toward the west, over toward Jerusalem? And how can you... And stars move. So it bothered me. It wasn't that I didn't believe it. It was just I didn't understand it. So I'm going to tell you some things about this that I think are pretty obvious, particularly if you think about it. They saw this star. They were over in the east, a long way to the east of the city of Jerusalem, this town of Bethlehem. And they saw this star actually in the west, but they were in the east. It had to be on the horizon. It had to be on the horizon. It had to be very definite that it was that direction toward the west. It wasn't overhead. It was directly toward the west, and they were in the east when they saw it. We have an evening star during a large portion of the year that's the planet Venus. It's the brightest star in the heavens at that time. And when we look at it, usually here, it's right on the horizon. And you can see it, and it's very bright. So this, whatever it was very bright. Now, in the Bible, the problem that you face when you run into a particular word is, what did the word mean to them at the time that it was written? Now, to us, after we go through our science classes, we know that our stars are a long, 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 long way off. But we know that our planets are close. They considered the planets as stars. And as a matter of fact, they are, because they put out light and we see them in the heavens and they glow. And they also considered comets, stars, meteors, when they went into our atmosphere and began to disintegrate and burn, they put out a light, they called them stars. So when they would see anything in the heaven that was bright, it was a star. Now whatever this was on the western horizon. I think this is what they saw. They saw a star that was actually in the sky, and it looked like this. And they saw it on the distant western horizon. So they called it a star. They saw it there. Now, a lot of stories that are issued indicates that they followed that star, and every night it was there, and every During the day it was there, and they just kept on following it the whole time until they got to Jerusalem, where Herod was. I don't think so. Not that God couldn't have done that, but I don't think God did. They were waiting for this star, because Daniel's writings, he had the whole Old Testament with him, and he had been placed over all the wise men and the Chaldeans. And so they had been waiting for this birth for a very long time. We're going to be dealing with that in the next few weeks, and I'll be showing you why the wise men had been looking for this for a long time. They knew approximately when it was going to show up, so they'd been watching, and all of a sudden they saw it. I think they saw it one night, and I think it was on the horizon. It had never appeared in the heavens before, and they were stunned. They said, "That's it." So they took off directly toward the east, or toward the west, where they had seen it. And I don't think they saw it during their journey, because it was a new star in the heavens. They saw it this one night, then it disappeared. They never saw it again. And when they got there, they inquired of Herod who this king was that had been born. I don't believe there were three of them. I believe there were a huge number of them, because you didn't travel in threes all the way up the Tigris, Euphrates, and then all the way back down from the north, which was the normal route. It would have taken them between 1 and 2 years to have made the journey after they saw the star. That's why Herod had all the children killed that were 2 years and under in Bethlehem after the wise men returned to their own country. He wanted to make sure he got the Christ child. In any case, when they got there, there was a large entourage, because Herod would not have taken any notice of three Yehus showing up out of the middle of nowhere talking about a king. But he would have taken great notice of a large caravan of wise men with their entourage of associated men that they bought, paid for, slaves, whatever. And he would have paid great attention to it, and he would have been troubled by the news. So I think this is what they saw. Now, it's interesting, because I believe that this is what they saw. They saw glory on the western horizon. What they saw was the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. What they saw was the same Shekinah glory that filled the temple in Jerusalem after Solomon had built it, that stood above the cherubim, that came up out of the midst of the city and settled on the Mount of Olives, and then departed. This was the return of the Shekinah glory, and that's what they saw in the heavens. Here's what I think they saw. Luke 2:8-14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. You'll find the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament as a very prominent figure. He is the one who led the nation of Israel, and in my estimation, he was a preemptive picture or being who portrayed Christ as the Son of God before his birth in a manger in Bethlehem. But notice it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. This is what I think the wise men saw. I think they saw it that night. I think they probably saw it one time. They saw it on the distant western horizon. And they were looking for a king to be born because of Daniel's teachings. He had given them the 70 weeks of years. They knew it would be about 483 years. They believed what Daniel told them. He was among them, and as a matter of fact, he was over them, placed over them. And so they had waited all this time, and their children's children, and when they saw the star, they believed that it was the Shekinah, that it was the star of God. I think that star they saw in the heavens on the western horizon was the same star that the wise men saw, that the shepherds saw. Pardon me. Here are the shepherds out in their field tending their flocks, and suddenly the glory of God shone round about them. I think that's what the wise men saw. I think it was at a high enough elevation they could see it on the distant western horizon. And I don't think it continually kept glowing every night. I think once they saw it, they knew what it was. It had never been there before on that horizon. They had never seen it before. And I think they said, that's the king that Daniel told us about. And away they went toward the city of Jerusalem, or there to find, I should say, toward Israel, to find out about this king. It is wise for us to follow the star. Notice what it says. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. It went before them in the sense that at night they could see it possibly from time to time. So it says it went before them, which went before them. It may not mean that they actually followed it. I rather tend to believe that it appeared at night, but now we're talking about something that happened on the way back. In all reality, I seriously doubt if this star continually kept appearing at night. I really think they only saw it one time. Could I be wrong? Yeah, I could be wrong. But all of a sudden, here in Daniel 2, 9 through 11, after they're on their way back, after they're seen the king, they're going to the Christ child, and when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east. I think they had seen it between 1 and 2 years before that, and all of a sudden it reappeared, and then it went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. The only way that you could possibly be able to figure out which house it was standing over is for it to be at a low enough elevation to where you could see it and follow it. And I believe what they followed was the kind of glory of God. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, how come other people didn't see it? I think only those people saw it that God meant to see it. Like the people that were on the road to Damascus, they never did see Jesus. They saw light, but they only saw as much as God meant for them to see. So they had not seen this star for over a year. Yet they had come to the place where they had seen it in the east because they knew that the Messiah was going to come out of Israel. They knew that from the writings of Balaam, which Daniel had in his possession. Now the star suddenly appears after when they had heard the king, they departed. That was, of course, Herod. And lo, the star which they saw in the east, they had seen it before in the east, went before them. It actually went before them, and I mean it was continuous. And they followed it right up to the house, over the house where it stood, where the young child was. Now at this time, Jesus was between 1 and 2 years old. He was walking. He would have been a young man. He would have already been speaking. He would already have been exposed to the Hebrew alphabet. He would have been a very young child, but he was not a child in a manger in Bethlehem. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Those are the gifts you would give to a king. Those are the gifts that you would give to royalty. So I believe that when they saw the star in the east, and they asked Herod in Matthew 2:2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They got that from Daniel's prophecy. For we have seen his star in the east. They saw it on the western horizon. They saw the Shekinah glory of God, and they came to worship him. And I believe that what they saw was Luke 2:8-14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. How come the people in the city of Jerusalem didn't see this? How come the people in Bethlehem didn't see this? How come it didn't make a stir among the general population? How come it isn't recorded in history as suddenly appearing overhead in these cities? Because it only appeared to those that God wanted to reveal himself to. And God wanted to reveal himself to the shepherds. He wanted to reveal himself to the wise men. And so the shepherds and the wise men saw it. And can you imagine them following the star to Bethlehem? They had been where Herod was. Can you imagine after they departed Herod and following a star which was low enough that they would be able to tell which house it actually settled over? And they followed it, and can you imagine nobody else seeing it? That's exactly what happened. Because the only ones who saw it were the ones to whom God chose to reveal himself. I think when Jesus comes at what we call the catching out of the rapture, which I believe occurs on the blowing of the seventh trumpet, I believe we're the only ones that will see him, that know him as Savior. I don't think the rest of them will see him. Now, the rest of them are going to see him a short time later when he comes at the end of the tribulation period. Every eye is going to see him. But then it's going to be too late. But I think God reveals himself and his glory to those he chooses to reveal himself to. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on peace in earth, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I believe they saw glory on the western horizon, the wise men. I believe it appeared. They saw it. The shepherds saw it. Then it vanished. They headed toward Israel based on Daniel's prophecy. When they got there, they went to Herod the king and asked Herod about it. And then after they left, all of a sudden, for the first time in over a year, it appears again to them. And this time it doesn't go out. It moves, and it goes before them, and they follow it, and then it sets right over a house where they can tell which one it is. I believe that's just the kind of glory of the God. Now, take a look at Ezekiel 11:23. In Ezekiel 11:23, the glory of God before this, when Solomon first completed the temple, has entered the temple and filled the temple with the glory of God. Now, we're getting toward the end of the age of Israel, as far as Babylonian captivity is concerned. She's about to be carried into Babylonian captivity. This is Ezekiel 11:23. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city. It leaves the temple and stood upon the mountain which was on the east side of the city. Now Daniel tells us back in Daniel 10:4 that it stood above the actual temple of Solomon itself. So with that in mind, let's take a look at what it would have looked like. This is the Shekinah glory of God. This would have been the temple of Solomon, which was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. This would have been the palace of Solomon. This was the lower city of Jerusalem, which was the city of Jerusalem at the time of Solomon. And up here was Solomon's temple, and this was the Shekinah glory of God that in Ezekiel 10:4 stood above the temple. Later on, when the glory of God departed the temple, it moved across this Kidron Valley and settled and came over the Mount of Olives. Then it disappeared from view. That was 587 B.C. It was not seen again until, I believe, the shepherds saw it in a manger in Bethlehem, and over till they saw it when they departed where Herod was. They had seen it earlier, a year earlier, over the shepherds. I don't think that the Shekinah glory appeared to man until Christ was born in Bethlehem, and his coming marked the return of the Shekinah glory. And I believe that Christ himself is the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. The star that the wise men saw marked his coming. When they arrived there, the star led them to the place where he was at that time, not to Bethlehem, which had occurred more than a year before that time. Now, all this happened for a lot of different reasons. But for us, the reason I'm recanting this story and the reason I'm going back over it is to make myself aware and to make you aware how much trouble God has gone to advise us of all the things he has done concerning Christ and the glory of God that is in Christ and all the intricate planning throughout the Old Testament that God so detailed that when you see it, quite frankly, it amazes you. But the Shekinah glory of God, I believe, indwells each local New Testament church. You can't see Christ, but I believe that when you saw the Spirit come down, or when the Spirit came down and empowered the local New Testament church that Jesus had organized during his earthly ministry, tongues of fire set down on them. Just like it did, tongues of fire set down on them whenever the glory of God came and filled Solomon's temple. And the actual fire came down and consumed the offerings that were being made in Solomon's temple at that time. So all of these things God has done to impress upon us why we ought to follow this star. Because God has given us, I think, concrete proof that he is the Son of God, that he controls the elements of all the universe, which he proved during his earthly ministry by the miracles that he performed. So this time of year, when I think of the wise men traveling for that great distance, which would have required more than a year, but less than 2 years, and I see these men going to all that trouble because they believe the word of God, even though they weren't Jews, they believe the word of God. They were the descendants of Abraham through Keturah. They were the descendants of Abraham through Ishmael. They were the sons of Abraham. But yet they believed God's word. And they traveled all that distance based on a teaching that a man named Daniel had given them. And they believed the king was going to be born in Israel. And they went to worship him. The ironic thing about all this, when you bring it down to stark reality, that king is in the midst of every local New Testament church. You can't see him. Just like they didn't see the Shekinah glory for a long time. But Jesus Christ is personally here in the midst of this assembly this morning. He indwells each one of us that have our faith in him. But he's also present here. Now one day you're going to get to see him. You're going to get to see the Shekinah glory. The person of Jesus Christ. But they traveled all that distance to offer him gifts. I think that that's what we're supposed to do once we're saved. Once the glory of God and the person of Christ comes to enter us spiritually, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming? To keep on coming. To whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. And every time you come to church, you're bringing him an offering. You're bringing yourself, and you're bringing what you have and what you are and what you want to offer to him as God's son. So this time of year, this has a very special meaning to me. And I get a certain feeling in my heart when I think of the star and I think of Christ in a manger in Bethlehem and I think of all the shepherds seeing him. And at the same time, the Shekinah glory of God was beaming over them and the glory of God was all over that says so. The wise men were seeing him on the distant horizon, and they made that journey all that time. So Christmas for me isn't a particular date, because the wise men weren't there when Christ was born. They came over a year later. So if you want to talk to me about celebrating Christmas, I celebrate the whole thing. I celebrate from the time he was born until the wise men showed up. You say, well, that's more than a year. That's what we're supposed to do with the Lord. It's supposed to be a whole year event. And this time of year is just when it comes close to us. I'll never forget one time what Charlie Ellis said. Because I think most of us have this inner thing that we don't really understand. Charlie said to me, he was talking about us having, you know, a Christmas thing where it put on shepherd's clothing and all kinds of stuff. Charlie said when he was a little boy, he really liked that. He said he remembered it. Said he remembered putting on a shepherd's outfit and everything. Said it meant a lot to him. You know what? I felt the same way about it. That's the same way I always felt. And I've always wanted to have Christmas programs in this church. It's just sometimes we just, people working so hard, we just haven't had time to do it. Well, this year we had a couple of volunteers, and I'm very thankful for that. So I'll think about this Christmas program before we're doing it, while we're doing it, and after we're doing it. It means a lot to me because it happened, and it's real. And I like to see kids come down. I like to see Mary and Joseph setting a thing here. I just love that. I love to think about Christ's birth. I love to see kids dressed up as shepherds and sheep and goats and whatever. I like that. You don't think they don't remember that? They remember it all their lives. I remember being dressed up like that, and I remember how much I enjoyed it. And it brings back a lot of fine, fond memories. People, I'm not an old humbug. I'm not a fellow that says, you know, we shouldn't have a Christmas. No, I'm not that at all. I thoroughly enjoy this season of the year because it brings back a lot of memories and a lot of things that are important to me. Numbers 24:17. You see, when Daniel was in captivity, oh my goodness, it's 10 minutes too. So we'll continue this probably next Sunday. Sorry I kept you that long. No, I'm not. I'm glad I did. Served you right.